problems if you give her a shout out. Let her come into your room, into your living room, and talk with her for about 10 minutes, and I think all your concerns will melt away. Have a great weekend, folks. It's going to be beautiful weather. Go to see Pippin at Hunterdon Central Regional High School. It's a fabulous performance. And remember, North Hunterdon Lady Lions bring home the trophy from Jackson on Sunday. Big C signing off. Good morning, Hunterdon. HunterdonChamberRadio.com. We're back. I have Tracy Lynn here, and I'm telling you, we could do this for like 4 more hours of talking about her business and her personality and all her memories and experiences that she's done with all these her clients in Home Instead Senior Care. We're going to turn over now to the fact that you are a host of Boomer's World, which is going to be on in about an hour or so. So you got to get busy on that.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in being a host?
I have to tell you, it started really when I was 4. My father was in the import banana business, and I used to run around with a Chiquita banana. That was my microphone. And when, honest to God.
I didn't really expect this to go that well.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
But when I heard through our wonderful grapevine here at the Hunterdon Chamber, and it is like a massive grapevine of information and strength,
mm-hmm.
and on all the wineries we have in Hunterdon County,
uh-huh.
too.
Yep.
But it's just the strength of that. And I heard this birth of this idea, and I got so excited. I was running through my office saying, I wonder if they would allow me,
mm-hmm.
And give me the opportunity, because, I mean, I have no experience doing that, and maybe hosting a show that focuses on seniors.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you get in touch with Richard, or Richard got in touch with you? Or?
Yeah. I emailed Richard, and he emailed me back, and he said, you know, come on in. We're gonna have a meeting. And I said, great. And I showed up at this meeting and this around this big old table with
right.
these wonderful, enthusiastic people. And there was so much energy in the room, like there was like a static energy.
Right.
And it just started unfolding. And being something entirely new, I'm like part of the foundation, so how could I not
right.
become a sponsor
right.
and help it along financially?
Wow.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Great. Now, you said you were, all right, you got some training back when you were 4. But the rest of us came in pretty novice to the situation, so you being an old hat of this... What have you run into? What unique things have you run into when you were doing your show? You've been doing it since October.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Britain's ambassador to the United States abruptly resigning today over his leaked diplomatic cables that were critical of President Trump. Sir Kim Darroch, saying that he's resigning to put an end to speculation surrounding how long he would stay on in Washington after memos came out recently showing him describing the Trump administration as inept and chaotic. The president had responded on Twitter recently calling Darroch wacky, stupid, and incompetent. An estimated 2 million fans have lined up in New York City for a parade to celebrate the U.S. women's soccer team World Cup victory. This man says he's there to
get a glimpse of the team, show them that, like, you know, we're out here, we appreciate them and all the work that they put in, even if they, you know, only in the spotlight every few years. Hopefully that changes.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
An investigation continues into the death of an Indiana toddler who fell out of an 11th-story window on a cruise ship. Attorney Michael Winkleman represents the girl's family.
This was one of Royal Caribbean's older ships. This was a 2006 ship. It's my understanding at this point that all of the newer ships, they do not have the same configuration and they do not have the ability to allow passengers to open whatever window they want in these public areas. So it hasn't even been 48 hours since the incident, but I think it's clear at this point that this was a preventable tragedy.
A federal appeals court panel is grilling attorneys general about whether the Affordable Care Act violates the Constitution. They're weighing whether to uphold a Texas judge's ruling that strikes down the health care reform law. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it's likely to end up back at the Supreme Court.
I think the important thing for the public to know is there's nobody in the Senate not in favor of covering pre-existing conditions. Nobody.
The High Court narrowly ruled in favor of the law in 2012. You're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Taxpayers in California are now providing public health care to young illegal immigrants, whether they want to or not. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom signing a bill into law yesterday, making illegal immigrants aged 25 and younger eligible for the state's Medicaid program, as the Golden State became the first state in the nation to do so. State officials say they expect the plan will cover about 90,000 people at a cost of $98 million. The last ever Volkswagen Beetle will be rolling off the assembly line in Mexico today. The iconic Beetle is retiring once and for all after more than 70 years of production, with a ceremony to be held at the factory. The facility is being retooled to create a new compact SUV for the North American market. VW stopped producing the original version of the Beetle in 2003. The last Beetle that rolls off the line will be on display at a Volkswagen museum in Puebla, Mexico. And Netflix is losing friends. Reruns of the iconic 90s TV show will leave Netflix, joining a new service called HBO Max, the second former NBC series to leave Netflix in the past month, as The Office is also leaving in 2021. Remember, you can find out more about USA Radio Networks by going to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. Today we have a high of 89 and mostly sunny, low of 66 tonight and mostly clear. Chance of thunderstorms likely tomorrow and a high of 84. Thunderstorms likely again Thursday night with a low of 69. Friday, more chance of showers. And then Friday night it clears up. And by Saturday, we're looking at sunny and a high of 88.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and welcome to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today, I think, so check us out at Happy to Hunter and or Happy to Help. And we might be having some technical difficulties, but stay with us. But I'm very excited to have today with me Dr. Peggy DeLong, who is the gratitude psychologist and an author. And she has a very, very interesting story to tell. And she wrote an incredible book that I just finished reading. So I want to talk to her and learn all about that. Welcome, Dr. Peggy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So great. So can you kind of give people a little bit of background of why don't you talk about how you became the gratitude psychologist?
Sure. Kind of by accident, because I when I was writing my book, it took me 25 years to write. And as I wrote it, I just experienced gratitude. It was very strange that it was a sad book, talking about my fiancé who had cancer and passed away, and then my father passed away. But what really resonated with me was that I was so grateful for my life. So I thought that it was really powerful that it helped me to heal. And I looked back at a time when that really hit me, and it was when my fiancé, there was nothing left that they could do for him, and they were, you know, we were just basically waiting for him to die. There was just no more treatment. And when I was there with him every single day, the one thing that was consistent and predictable was a cup of hazelnut coffee. So my 26-year-old self couldn't figure out why that cup of coffee meant so much to me. Years later, I figured out that it was because of gratitude, that I was grateful for the one thing that I could rely on every day to bring me comfort. So figuring that out through the process of writing my book really helped guide me professionally, that this is one thing that it's universal healing, that it really has the ability, just practicing gratitude, to make us feel better in the moment. I love backing up what I say with research. And a recent study that I found talked about how practicing gratitude, the benefits increase over time. A lot of interventions that psychologists use with their clients, once they kind of fade or they lessen over time. This is one that actually increases, even when you don't recognize that you're actively using it. And that's really powerful stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. So that is why I've taken this on as my main mission, to really help people understand that it's something that they can do every day to make them feel better. It doesn't make problems go away, but it helps us to feel better.
It's all about attitude, right?
Yes.
Attitude and gratitude. Yeah, well, and I think what struck me, I mean, I think we all love our coffee, or but for you going through this really heart-wrenching experience, it was probably a small sense of normalcy that you could rely on, maybe?
Exactly. I think, yes, I didn't think about that before. But the predictability and, right, as the normalcy, it brought me back to feeling, I remember the first time I had hazelnut coffee was with my mother before I started drinking and coffee in high school before my high school day. And I remember the flavor of the hazelnut coffee that for the very first time. So when I was with him in the hospital, it made me feel more like home. And the smell made the hospital room feel less sterile. So it was normal. It felt, it brought normalcy into my life that felt so abnormal.
Right. And well, let's go ahead and talk about your book. It's called I Can See Clearly Now, and it's a memoir about love, grief, and gratitude. And like you said, it took 25 years to write, but you probably had to live it and digest it and reflect. And tell us about what the story's about and about your love, Scott.
Yes. Well, I started writing and keeping a journal the day that he found a lump on the side of his neck. Actually, I've always been one to keep a diary. So many people have asked, well, how did you remember all of this? Well, I didn't need to remember. It was all written down, which made it so beautiful and easy to write. But that's how it started. I just had a green notebook that I kept around from the very day that he saw that or felt that lump. Something just told me I needed to document this, and it helped me. It helped me in the moment to write things down. It kept me company while I was the only one with him. He had lots of visitors at the hospital, but there were plenty of times when I was the only one there, and he was sleeping. And just writing was very therapeutic for me. So I didn't know at the time when I was writing it that it would eventually become a book. But after he passed away and I tried to get my hands on anything that would help me cope with grief, I couldn't find anything written by another young widow. And I wasn't we weren't married, but there's no word when you lose a fiancé. Mm-hmm. There's no word in the English language, mm-hmm. So I have to use the word widow. And I felt like a widow because we had been through...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, aw.
More
than
some married couples do. So
yeah, absolutely. So I hate to do that. Oh, I know.
25 years later, it's still tough to talk about.
I'm sure. But the good thing about the story is that you ended up marrying later.
Yes. I'm very grateful to have opened up my heart to allow love back in, because it's really scary after you lose somebody to even think about being with another person, because that fear of loss is so powerful.
Right.
So it's definitely something that people need to address after loss. So I write in my book about the healing power of individual psychotherapy, of bereavement groups, lots of things that I did on my own, visiting the mountains, being in the mountains. Nature is very healing. So as a psychologist, I love using what helped me, I don't have to talk about myself, but using what I know to help my clients. And it doesn't have to be grief that they're struggling with. It can be, you know, any life struggle, that some of these techniques are universal, using nature, gratitude, and things like that.
Yeah, and I think you have that empathy gene. It's coming, you know, like, so I think certain people have that gene of empathetic, where you can just relate to people regardless of what they're going through. You can feel it. I can feel it, and I'm not a psychologist, obviously, but you've evidently found extreme success in your practice. So can you tell us what prompted you to study psychology?
Probably my father. My father was a child psychiatrist, and I, you know, he loved talking about mental health in general, and particularly the kids that he was working with, without divulging any confidential information, but just really interesting, full, rich life that he led as a mental health professional. And when I was about 16, he needed some help in his waiting room. He ran a group for boys who had difficulty managing their behavior. Mm-hmm. So all the boys would gather before the group officially started, and he just needed someone to play some games with them. And so that really introduced me to, you know, a hands-on experience. And then every job, whether volunteer or not, after that was in the field of mental health. So I really just followed in my father's footsteps. I don't recall ever wanting to be anything else but a psychologist. I knew I didn't want to be a medical doctor, because he kind of discouraged that, and I didn't want to go the medical route, but I definitely was interested in the mental health field.
Right. Well, so was he in the thick of all the ADHD and all that stuff? Was that just starting to come out, or maybe it already was out with...
Yes, that was his primary area of focus, with mostly boys. And he worked with school systems, doing evaluations for the school systems, but he really loved running groups for children.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, and then you also talk about this in the book, but then right after you lost Scott, you lost your dad, which was just... you know, heartbreak on top of heartbreak. So,
Well, I was just speaking with somebody else about that it really is true that people can die of a broken heart, that there is you know, now evidence that the emotional impact that loss has on the heart. People have heart attacks, and that's what happened to my father. I, you know, he did have some heart trouble, but I really believe that he died of a broken heart. He was so close with my fiance. He was like a son to him. And his own loss, plus seeing me in so much emotional pain, I think that it was just too much for him. So he went off to the mountains of Vermont for a couple days by himself to, you know, we're a big family of skiers, and that's very therapeutic for us to ski and the mountains. And he went by himself, which he often did. And you know, we did a lot of talk about death in my house before or after my fiancé passed away because, you know, it was really my first loss and I was trying to make sense of it all. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget one conversation that I had with my father where he said, you know, if I have it my way, I'm going to die on a chairlift. That's where I feel closest to God, breathing in the cool mountain air. And I said, Dad, why a chairlift? Maybe why not skiing? Then you're at least skiing and maybe hit a tree and die, but at least you're skiing. And he said, no, a chairlift, that's where I feel closest to God, breathing in the cool mountain air. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, my father died on a chairlift.
That's just crazy.
Crazy and so comforting that he not only thought that, but that he shared it with me. So, so that I was able to share that with my family, and it brought us tremendous comfort. I mean, who gets to go the way they want?
I know, we're doing what they love,
doing what they love.
Peace.
Chairlift rides are fairly short, so his amount of suffering was very, very limited. And doing what he loved and just the way he wanted to go.
Well, I want to hear about this wig he wore down the mountain.
I talk about the clown wig a lot because it has such tremendous significance. First of all, it was something he skied in a multicolored clown wig because it brought him joy. He was a very social person. It got people to make eye contact with him, to talk with him, to laugh with him. And he loved that. He ate that up. So it just made him feel good to ski in this silly clown wig. And it also, now that I'm adult and understand this, it teaches me, you know, not to care what people think and just to enjoy life. It has a lot of life messages in wearing that silly wig. But the really beautiful part about it is because of that wig, my husband knows that he met him. So I met my husband after my father died. And because my father always wore that silly clown wig, my husband remembers the man in the clown wig and that he talked to him. So that was another blessing, and that he was able to share that with me, that he had met and spoke with my father, never knowing that years later he would end up marrying his daughter.
Well, I know. That's so incredible. Like, it really is a small world, and we're all so connected, and that it comes through several times in the book. Do you remember the story of how he started? Was it on a whim he wore it, and then it resonated with people? And so
I think so. I think it was just a whim. I don't know where it came from. It's in my home office.
Aww.
I love looking at it. And I bring it often to my speaking engagements when I talk about finding joy in life. I write articles about it. It's just so significant, this clown wig.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit more about your overall practice, because you do a lot with forensic and speaking and stuff like that. So, you know, if people, a couple of the biggest shows on this radio station are the mental health shows. They get the most views and listens because everyone's got issues regardless. You know, I always say, whose family is not dysfunctional? I mean, really. But anyway, so, I mean, I think you've got all kinds of things to offer to people that are looking for help or reading the book or resources.
So my private practice is quite varied. I do a little bit of forensic work where I work with families in crisis with child protection issues, and I do testify around the state of New Jersey. Doing a little less of that after 20 or so years of being in the field, and doing more what is called positive psychology, gratitude and helping people live their best lives. So I do that through traditional psychotherapy. People call me and see me one-on-one in my office in Long Valley. I also do that through speaking engagements. I talk at libraries, women's clubs, all different kinds, children's groups, about gratitude, resilience, a lot of different things, whatever they, managing social media, parenting. And I love to write. I'm working on it's my third book right now. My second is being edited right now. It's a gratitude journal. And my third book is about finding joy and cultivating happiness even on crummy days. Because we are meant to live our best lives, and every day is not going to be a good day. So we can make the most of it with some really simple things that we can do every single day, even when someone is receiving a family member going through cancer treatment, things that I learned when I went through that. And what I like about this book that I'm writing now is it's not just my personal experiences. I found a research article to support everything that I talk about. So it's essentially 30 different ideas in 30 chapters. So that's my next book. And I also turned my hobby into a business. So I love making inspirational bracelets. And the bestseller is the gratitude bracelet.
Yeah.
So it comes with a card and a reminder to practice gratitude every day. And that's sold in 20 stores around the country. And I do a lot of sales on my website.
And that give people the website so they can go.
Sure. That website is peggysmidnightcreations.com. And as I said, the most popular one is the gratitude bracelet, but there's 100 other designs, all related to mental health in one way or another.
That's incredible. Well, we have so much more to talk about, but we have to take a quick break. So we will do that and be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're trying to get the Facebook Live working. We're having some technical difficulties, but we'll see what we can do. And I'll post lots of pictures and also post Peggy's website and so we can resource, learn about her bracelets and her book and her second book, her third book, and a lot of reading to do here. So this is good. But we talked about the first book, about your memoir of gratitude, and then can you talk about your second book and kind of give people a preview? Okay.
Sure. So the second book is out of a question that people have consistently asked me during my life, and said, why are you so happy? How are you so happy? And even when I experienced my losses, I still got that same response. So I thought, what the heck do I do to give people this impression, even when I'm going through tremendous grief? So I really gave it some thought, and I came up with 36 different ideas, things that I do. And I wanted the book to be more than just about me, and as a psychologist, it's important to me to back up what I say with some research. So each chapter is a very simple idea of things that we can do even on a really crummy day. For example, one chapter is about the power of smiling. I work with a lot of teens, and sometimes they want social support during the school day, but when they're feeling down in the dumps, their shoulders are down, they're looking down in the hallways and not making eye contact with anybody. So I talk with them about the power of just smiling and making eye contact. And it's really amazing what happens after that, and it can be just enough shift in their day to send it in a positive direction just by a smile. And the research shows that our brain can't distinguish the difference between a fake smile and a real smile. So if you're having a bad day and just need a little bit of an emotional boost, put on a fake smile. The dopamine and serotonin still fire in your brain. Your brain can't tell the difference. So it is a quick mood booster. So that's just one quick idea. And then I give some personal examples of how it has changed me, or share a story about a client confidentially. So that's just one idea. And then there's 35 different more. But there are things that they're not elaborate, they're not intense, they don't take a lot of time. So each idea is something that we can do every day.
That's wonderful. And I think, yeah, it takes a small step forward to get you out of your funk and into a better mood and doing something different. Yeah.
Yes.
So how did the concept of the bracelet materialize?
I started making bracelets 12 years ago. I took an adult class. My town runs a wonderful program for children, all sorts of classes, and one year they offered them for adults as well. So I thought, oh, this would be interesting to get out of the house in the evening. My children at the time were, I think, 2, 4, and 5. So very busy working full time, and it was just one way for me to do something for me to learn to make jewelry. And I thought, well, with 2 daughters, I've got lots of birthday parties ahead. This will be one way that I can inexpensively have, you know, lots of gifts to give. Well, I quickly became addicted to beading. It's really same thing with meditation. The brain responds in a very it's like a sedative. It's very calming. And when at the time I was only doing forensic work, and I needed a way to relax my mind and stop thinking about the child abuse evaluations that I was working on before I went to bed. It helped me to be more peaceful as I went to bed. I found myself needing to bead. And then I just had an idea of turning it into a business, because I was making way more than I could possibly wear. I was selling a lot at my children's holiday boutiques at the schools. So they would all get sold out. So there was clearly an interest in what I was making. So I thought, well, let me just see if some local stores might be interested. So I made the gratitude bracelet, and I went into 3 stores, unannounced, uninvited, and asked the boutique owners if they would be interested in carrying the gratitude bracelet. They all said yes, and they all sold out. And I am still working with those stores, in addition to 17 more around the country with the gratitude bracelet. So it's really fun for me. Making bracelets brings me so much joy. So I'm so grateful that I get to do something that I love. And what I never imagined is the impact that it would have on people. So sometimes I get messages either from the giver or the recipient letting me know how much the bracelet meant to them. I also make bracelets for people going through loss. So after a loved one has passed away, instead of sending flowers, send one of the bracelets from my Coping with Loss and Difficulty line. And, I received messages about, you know, how special that was, that they can, because that's what helped me. When I went back to work after my fiance passed away, I was able to wear a bracelet that brought me comfort that somebody gave me with an angel charm on it. So I know how that, how powerful and healing that was for me to wear. So that's what gave me the idea to make a whole line for other people.
Yeah, someone's asking for the bracelet website again.
Sure. It is peggysmidnightcreations.com. And the bestseller is the gratitude bracelet, but if there's 8 different lines, I have an entire mental health line where there's bracelets for anxiety, depression, life transition, coping with divorce, you name it. I thought about all the things that my clients come to me for help with, and I made a related bracelet. I have just an inspiration line, a coping, what's your passion line. So if someone's interested in the sea, the ocean, or boating, or skiing, or kayaking, whatever it is, you might find it on there. What's really special to me is the coping with loss and difficulty line, helping people who are going through a difficult time, being able to give them something that, other than chocolate, that's going to get eaten and disappear, other than flowers, that's going to die. It's a long-lasting way of showing support for somebody.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about a bracelet is don't they tell people to wear a rubber band around your wrist if you're trying to quit smoking or you want to be reminded of something? So it's, you're supposed to snap yourself back into reality. But this is kind of like along that concept, but it's a powerful, wonderful, pretty reminder.
Exactly.
Right?
A friend of mine referred to my bracelets as a pep talk on my wrist, and I thought that was perfect.
You should paraphrase that and trademark it. That's perfect, right? I mean, because it's fun to buy. buy. It's fun to wear. It's fun to share. It's got a story to it. And Midnight, what is it again?
Peggy's Midnight Creations.
And then you also have a website that talks about your author events and
yes.
visits.
Yes. My psychology website is drpeggydelong.com. drpeggydelong.com.
Okay. And there's a lot of great stuff on there, great pictures, and so you can order the book from there,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can order the book directly from me, or you can order it all. You can read more about it on Amazon, or you can read it and purchase it on through my website, where I could actually sign it. I have my author copies in my office, mm-hmm. so I can sign them and send them out myself, along with the bracelet. It goes really well, because gratitude is in the title of my book. It goes really well with the gratitude bracelet, and hopefully in a month I will have out my gratitude journal. So it's a nice package.
Nice. And, so anybody out there who's going through a hard time, has a friend going through a hard time, and you just want to do something but you don't know what to do, then, pick up a copy of the book and a bracelet, and it'll be great, a great gift. I was going to also ask you about you wrote the book. Oh, yeah. How did you go about finding a publisher? Was that tough to do?
Yes, that was tough. I worked with one editor who was absolutely amazing, who really helped me transform my choppy journal into creative narrative, mm-hmm. something that people would want to read. Mm-hmm. She organized it into chapters, gave each chapter a title, and when I read the titles that she assigned to each of my chapters, it brought tears to my eyes. It was so spot on with what I wanted to communicate. So I love the chapter titles in the book. So she got me so far, and then I needed to find a different editor when I was ready to publish. I found a publisher, this organization called She Writes Press. Oh, she only works with female authors. Absolutely amazing. The owner is Brooke Warner, and she has a coaching business, a writing coaching business, Warner Coaching. And that took me to another level. And they were going to publish my book, but could not put me on the calendar until spring 2020. But the book was done. I could not wait. After 25 years of waiting to get it out there, I couldn't wait another day. It was done. So another friend hooked me up with someone she met at a national conference who owns another publishing company called Peacock Proud Press. So I reached out to her. She said she could have it published out in stores and available in 6 months. So she gave me a date of March 18th, and we were able to stick to that date. So I'm celebrating about 3 months now of it being out in the world.
That's incredible. And you also do a gratitude course in gratitude?
Yes.
So tell people how they can sign up for that.
Yes, that starts next Tuesday.
Oh.
It is a course in gratitude. It is essentially my workshop in over the course of time, really in-depth, providing one-on-one calls with me, group support, and homework, and really just delving into the power of gratitude. I've been running gratitude workshops for about six years, and tremendous response. As I said before, it's just a universal concept, universal healing power that really anybody can do, and really resonates with people. So I thought, well, why don't I take this to the world so that you don't just have to live in northern New Jersey to participate? So it's an online course that I'll be offering starting next Tuesday. And people can sign up directly through the website and be providing lots of research. Every week will be different ways of practicing gratitude so you don't get bored. If you're not a writer, there's lots of different ways. You don't have to use a gratitude journal. They'll be providing so many different ways that people can practice gratitude. And they will find that it really transforms their lives.
Yeah, and I think that's so important for women and moms especially, because even when you mentioned before, you just took this simple bracelet class just to do something for yourself, just to kind of get out of your zone and get away. And I think – and people don't realize the repercussions that small act, selfish act, which is fine, has on you and your life and your family. I mean, it opens up so many doors and makes everybody happier, not just you. So even though it's a selfish act for you to do something, it really benefits everyone, right? Happy
right.
life, happy wife, happy mom.
Exactly. So I see gratitude in a way as not being self-righteous, but in a way selfish. You are helping yourself. You are helping yourself live the best life that you can. And that is what we are here for. We are not meant to suffer. We are not here to be down in the dumps every single day. And gratitude is the simplest thing that we can do to feel good in the moment, and it has long-lasting benefits.
Right. I think, do you also, I read something about harnessing the power of the law of attraction in your personal and professional life. Was that from your website too? I believe I always just tap into the universe. That's what I do.
That's going to be my second online course. This one is 8 weeks long, and then the second one that I'll be offering after, because that's another one of my very popular workshops. Every time I do a law of attraction workshop, somebody in the audience invites me to speak with another group. Also a universal concept that applies to anybody, whether you're working on a personal goal or a professional goal. And I talk about using the law of attraction in my book and how it completely transformed my life when I was ready to date again and when I wanted more from my life after my significant losses.
Well, you made a list, right?
I made a list.
Yes, and it worked. I mean, seriously, if you don't put it down on paper or manifest it some way, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
So, she checked all the boxes, right? That's good.
Yeah. So, and I always joke that my husband is not only, he only met what was on my list, but he surpassed it in every way. So it's just amazing the power and really believing that you deserve what you want in life. That's not selfish. As you said before, it makes you a better person. And then in turn, you return that to the world by being a better person and doing what you love.
Yeah, and that's what I try to talk about on this show is that one of the ways that I think there's some research to back this up that you can enhance gratitude in your life is helping others.
Exactly.
So if you begin, go ahead.
Yes, so that's in my third book. Okay. That's a chapter in my third book about the power of helping others. And the research shows that the person who benefits more is the giver.
Right.
Emotionally, psychologically, the giver benefits more. So another selfish reason to give to other people. So, of course, the recipient benefits. And how wonderful it is to be able to give your time to children who might need it, visit children receiving treatment for cancer in the hospital. I love that my town has a wonderful program, Sarah's Fight for Hope, that involves high school kids visiting visiting children who are experiencing treatment for cancer. And HeartWorks, based out of the Bernardsville, Basking Ridge area, that does so many wonderful things for people struggling with life issues. We are meant to be social beings, and giving to other people is one way to feed our need to be social. So many benefits of giving to other people. It distracts us from our own sorrows. We don't want to ignore our problems, but sometimes we just need a distraction.
Right.
That's another benefit of giving to other people.
Yeah, and so I always just tell people, get off the couch, reach out to someone, a neighbor, someone in your church, someone in your workplace or community. There's so many ways to give, and it doesn't take a lot of effort, and it's just starting. It's the problem, how do people start, How do you advise people to just start when they're just so stuck in either stubborn or just depressed or whatever?
The internet is a wonderful way to start by just Googling acts of kindness groups in your area or charities, or calling churches. Usually a church has not just one, but many ways of giving, community organizations, or just asking a friend what they're involved in. And sometimes it's hard to get started with something alone, so do it with a friend. Yeah. Do it with maybe a friend is already doing something and can bring you in, or make it a point to do it together.
Right, and it's just, and you might have to try a couple different things to find the right fit, right? And you have to find something that interests you. If it's animals, if it's children, if it's books, if it's music, there's really something for everyone.
Right. It doesn't need to be big or huge or costly with time or money, but it needs to be meaningful.
Yeah, and then one of my friends who's an investor in the finance world, and they do a lot of with foundations and things like that, and her big thing now is the meaning behind the money. Finding something that you want to give to wholeheartedly, and finding meaning in that, not just writing a check, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of ways to give. So did you dub yourself the gratitude psychologist, or did it evolve, or what?
It actually a friend did. She is in the field of marketing. And I sat down with her because I was kind of struggling with my business because I do so many different things. Mm-hmm. I make bracelets. I do psychotherapy. I speak. I write. Like, how could I? I felt scattered and pulled in too many different directions. And just very matter-of-factly, she said, well, you're the gratitude psychologist. Mm-hmm. And it made sense. It's the big umbrella for everything that I do. And it helps me in my head make sense and make it a little bit more cohesive. So I really would like to actually trademark that. And you know, anybody can call themselves the gratitude psychologist, but I would like to really be nationally known as the gratitude psychologist.
And, yeah, and you need to trademark it, that
and the bracelet.
Yeah, yes. What's it called? The meaning, or no, the...
The gratitude bracelet?
No, but the other thing you said.
Oh, the pep talk on my wrist?
Yes, yeah. You got to do that. So find an attorney out yes. there and get that done. So, no, because it just makes sense, right?
Yes, yes.
And the cool thing I think that you've done just by what you do and is that you let it evolve. See, so many people are like, well, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to get it. So sometimes you have to let things marinate and evolve, and then it presents itself.
Right.
Like your friend and the comment, right?
Right. And it's taken 5 years. I had a transition from, for about 15 years, 100% of my work was doing forensic child abuse evaluations. For 15 years, wow. That was all that I did, and it just took a toll on my soul, and I couldn't do it anymore. It's a very worthwhile endeavor, and I felt I was doing very meaningful work, and I still do it, but it just can't be 100% of my work anymore. So when I was open to doing more things, that is when these other ideas came to me, and I talk with people when you do the Law of Attraction workshop. When you're open to it, the ideas come. So the shower. So I always recommend that people keep a notepad when you get out of the shower because no one's bothering us in the shower. Right. You know, where's my sock? Or needing to feed the dog. Like, it's peace and quiet. Yeah. You have time to be alone in your thoughts in the shower or going for a walk in nature or while you're doing yoga. When our mind is quiet, that's when ideas come. So really utilizing that and harnessing that when you want some direction in your life.
Yeah, and that's why I jog, I don't go great distances, but I intentionally do not use any music or headphones or anything. I just jog and, and I'm in nature. Again, we have like this trek through the trees, which is nice. So, I know people use music sometimes to get their heart rate up and stuff, but there's a lot to be said for silence.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And nature.
Nature.
And connecting with nature, that people often are inspired by nature. I have several bracelets that are inspired from watching the sunset on my kayak.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, we're going to – I think I'm losing battery, so I'm going to finish the live portion, but we are going to continue the audio portion. And you can listen live on 100-chamber.org and look at for the radio, and you can listen live. And then, well, I'll definitely see what I can post later. And because you have another book coming out, we can book you again to promote that book, and hopefully everything will be working. But we're going to continue the radio show for another 10 or 15 minutes, but I'm going to undo the Facebook just because we're running out of battery. Okay.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. We're back on Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and we're talking to Dr. Peggy DeLong. She is the gratitude psychologist. She's the author of I Can See Clearly Now. It's a memoir of love, grief, and gratitude about losing her fiancé and how she coped with that and love and loss and how she's prevailed and gone on to live a very full life of helping others. And she has bracelets for sale. She has a blog. She has Facebook. She has a website. So why don't you give us all those resources so we can find you?
Sure. My psychology website is drpeggydelong.com. And on that website, I have a blog where I write a lot about parenting and life in general that people might find interesting. And I also have a little bit about my book on there. People can order my book directly, and I can sign it. If you'd like me to write a personal message to somebody, let me know what that is. Or check out order notes on my website. You can tell me what you'd like me to write somebody. And it pairs really nicely with the gratitude bracelet, a really nice gift to give to somebody not going through a difficult time. It doesn't have to be loss, but any kind of difficult time. I think my overall message with the book is that life can be good again after hardship. And that's really the message of hope that I want to give to people. That's what I needed when I went through my losses, and that, you know, I really wrote the book for me. I just felt compelled to write it. I'm not to honor these two men, but in the process, it's helping people. And also giving the message of courage to love again after loss. You know, I'm so grateful that I met my husband, and I really, you know, see him as the hero in the book. Yeah, he's a wonderful man who had the courage to even ask me out on a date. You know, so I talk about him a lot, and really just going after what you want in life. You know, as I said before, we're not meant to suffer. We are meant to live our best lives. So having hope that life can be good again when you're experiencing tremendous grief is hard. And it, so I hope that my book gives hope to somebody and shows that it is possible.
Right. And in the book you talk about, I think you had such a strong friend group, which, and you didn't wallow alone somewhere in a corner. You were active right away, getting out with your friends and biking and the mountains and skiing and stuff. And so that core group, I think, helped, right?
Yes, tremendously. And in fact, they are still, we are still so close, and we're all getting together in New York City next month. Usually we go to Colorado. This year we're trying the city.
Not a lot of mountain biking in the city.
But wonderful group of friends who were so supportive. And then people who I hadn't been in touch with for years contacting me. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I always talk about the power of writing a letter to somebody who's going through a difficult time. And Megan McDowell, who is the founder of Heartworks, we had lost touch, but she wrote me, you know, a sympathy card, thinking of you card, and a tiny letter of numbers left her phone number. You know, this was back in the day when numbers, you know, no cell phones,
right.
Use the phone book to get somebody's number, and hers was not published. There was no way that I could have connected with her. So she put her phone number, and it started our weekly healing walks. So she was instrumental in my healing, and that's now what she does with Heartworks. So I always say Megan was practicing Heartworks long before Heartworks even had a name. This is just the way she lives her life. But it was through the simple sending of a card. You never know where that's going to take you in a relationship with somebody or the impact that it's going to have on their life when they're going through a hard time.
Yeah, I love the written card, and it just kills me that kids are not learning cursive anymore, because I just, you know, they get a letter from grandma and they're like, I can't read it. So I think the act of writing also is therapeutic for a lot of people. And for my son's getting ready to start college, they said taking notes with a pen and paper is better for the brain.
There's a lot of power between the movement of the hand and the connecting that to the language center in the brain and reinforcing what you're writing, and one way to learn it when you're studying something. It's very therapeutic when you're dealing with an emotional issue to put it on paper and release it, and sending it to somebody, letting them know how important they are in your life. The easiest way that we can improve a relationship is to express appreciation. So do it verbally on the phone, send an email, a text, or send an old-fashioned handwritten note of appreciation.
Right, so we just have to remember to smile, don't lose hope, and show appreciation and help others, because that really will take you into a whole new level of being, right?
Absolutely. These are very simple things that we can do to live our best lives.
Yeah, so let's give everybody the website again for the your practice and the book and the bracelets.
Sure. My psychology website is drpeggydelong.com, and that also has links to my other website, which is peggysmidnightcreations.com, which is just my bracelets. But through the other website, drpeggydelong.com, you'll have links to buy the book, or it will send you directly to the jewelry website. That's how you can reach me to book a speaking engagement or sign up for my course in gratitude, which is starting next week.
And it's an online course, is that correct?
It's an 8-week online course, and it is half the price of meeting with me one-on-one individually. So it is one way that it is affordable for people, intensive. I don't call it a deep dive. I call it a high soar because I really,
you got to trademark all this stuff right now.
We talk about deep dives, but that doesn't resonate with me when I think about gratitude. I feel light and I'm soaring. So I call it a high soar into gratitude.
All right. And then how do you come up with your blog articles, your topics?
Usually my life.
Okay. You have an example.
Yes, I have an example from last night. I usually write about things that happened to me and that I think the other people can relate to. I talked about yesterday about having a long 12-hour day and coming home to laundry and dishes and just bills and just feeling overwhelmed and frustrated. And looking at a watermelon that had been sitting on the counter for a week that just needed to be cut up. And I was going to go bad if no one cut this watermelon up. So I knew I just wanted to sit down. But I cut up that watermelon. And as I was doing it, I felt frustrated. Well, nobody else did the laundry. It's just sitting there. No, why is this pile of dishes left for me? And then I turned it around and thought about gratitude. I just enjoyed a wonderful meal with my family. My husband is a great cook and made the dinner. He bought the watermelon. I hate grocery shopping, and he did it. Mm-hmm. Thinking about, I heard the shower going, and my daughter's preparing for their next day of work and grateful that they have jobs.
Yes.
So I thought about everything that I could be grateful for and so easily turned it around. And it was topped off by my son running into the kitchen, seeing the watermelon and getting the juiciest piece and popping it in his mouth and saying, "Thank you, Mom."
Oh, I love that. Oh.
And it could have gone in a downward spiral.
Yes.
And being frustrated and unappreciated. But just by shifting my thinking and thinking about all the wonderful things that cutting up this watermelon meant to me, I was able to turn it around and feel better.
Yeah, good for you. In my house, it probably would have wound up with me screaming. So good for you. And I learned something today, too. I'll try and practice that. All right. Well, it was really fun talking to you. And I promise to have, hopefully, things will be working better. And we'll have you back when your second book comes out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The confetti is flying in New York City as a parade to honor the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team's World Cup win is underway. This man, who is among the 2 million people lining the parade route in Lower Manhattan, says,
"The costumes, the patriotism, it's incredible."
Along the parade route, New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo just signed a bill to mandate equal pay for men and women soccer players when they play in New York. A New York federal judge is blocking the Department of Justice's actions to change the entire legal team in the citizenship census question case. The judge saying the DOJ failed to provide a reason for changing all the lawyers. The Supreme Court blocking putting that citizenship question on next year's census survey, questioning the reason the government provided. And this is USA Radio News.
This message is brought to you by Woot.com, an Amazon company. Holy crap! Woot.com is turning 15? That's right. The site that brings you ridiculously good deals on stuff you need and stuff you didn't know you needed is celebrating their 15th birthday with a week of amazing deals and shenanigans. Woot.com, that's W-O-O-T.com, offers deep discounts on electronics, computers, home, tools, sporting goods, and even unique made-to-order t-shirts. Kent Stewart, CEO.
In honor of our 15th birthday, Woot is offering deals the entire week. But the big celebration is on Friday, July 12th, with an epic 15-hour Woot Off with deals every 30 minutes, plus 15,000 of our famous bags of crap that offer a random collection of stuff for just $10.
And Wooters with Amazon Prime get free shipping by connecting their Amazon account to their Woot account. Visit Woot.com, that's W-O-O-T.com, or download the Woot app for your best chance to score the best deals ever.
Federal immigration officials say there was a noticeable drop in the number of people detained at the southern border last month. Ken Cuccinelli is acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and he says it's too early to start celebrating that.
It reached certainly epic proportions. Some of that has eased in June. The numbers dropped down to about 104,000.
He was speaking to Fox and Friends. There are still tens of thousands of migrants and asylum seekers being held at facilities all along the border. Oil companies are evacuating workers from deep water platforms in the Gulf of Mexico ahead of a possible tropical storm that could form by the end of this week. A depression is expected to form by the end of today. BP, Chevron, Royal Dutch Shell, and others pulling non-essential staff from 15 platforms and also cutting production. And those living between Louisiana and Florida are on alert. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices.